much more be motivated to behave knowing they were going to have to get the treatment rather than just go to their bedroom. So what does it matter if hell is just annihilation? Friends, if there is no hell, then there's no pain. If there's no pain, then there's no punishment. If there's no punishment, then it's party time. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:32. If the dead are not raised, if we're not raised to eternal punishment, let's just eat and drink. Let's just party, for tomorrow we die. Now notice what this esteemed divinity professor from McMaster Divinity College in Canada had to say. How can Christians possibly project a deity of such cruelty and vindictiveness as to inflict everlasting torture upon his creatures, however sinful they may have been? Pinnock went on to argue that a God who would do such a thing is more nearly like Satan than God. Now, isn't that interesting? Here we have the creature judging God. Friends, if God is who God says God is, then God is the definition of good. God is good, and good is God, and whatever defines good is God, and whatever defines God is good. Regardless of what your opinion is of him, regardless of whether you think it's cruel or unusual punishment, if God says there's an everlasting hell, then that's just and right, because that's God. Notice what so-called Father Wilfredo Benitez of St. Anselm, Canterbury, wow, long word, Episcopal Church in Garden Grove, California says. How can something as wonderful as redemption be based on fear, he says. As a young preacher, Benitez warned non-believers that they would burn in Satan's lair. He later dropped that tactic. Can we accept a gift at gunpoint? This is total nonsense and madness. And notice he's praying up there with some Buddhist monks. And he can't understand how God can be cruel and vindictive. You know what? He can't understand God's doctrine on punishment because he doesn't obviously understand the scriptures. We can understand God's teaching on punishment if, number one, we understand that all are under sin, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If we understand that all sin must be punished, 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one must receive the things done in the body, whether he has done good or bad. And if we understand 1 John 1 and verse 5, that God is light, okay? God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all, and no darkness can be in the presence of God. Until our sins are expiated, until our sins are remitted by the blood of Christ, we cannot be in the presence of God. But would a literal everlasting hell make God a monster? Some say, well, God is too good. God's too just to punish. I would say, no. God is too just not to punish. Let me give you an illustration. Imagine someone close to you. Let's say it's your child's family, your cousin's family, your brother or sister's family, your next door neighbor's family. They have three kids. And some madman with rage and vindictiveness comes in and murders the whole family. Horrible, I know. But this is the illustration. Murders the whole family. Something like that happened to a lady who I work with her son and daughter. They came in and it was just horrendous. So the man goes before the judge, and you're there for the sentencing. He's found guilty. And you know what the judge says? The judge says, you are guilty of the heinous crime of murdering this family. But I want to let you know that I'm a very loving and compassionate judge. I am full of grace and loving kindness and mercy. Therefore, I'm going to let you go free. Because I'm not going to be a vindictive judge. What would we think of him? That judge would now turn out to be the monster. in addition to the murderer. And if God did not punish sin, God would be the monster. If there is no eternal punishment, then there is no retribution for Pol Pot, who killed up to 3 million people in the late 70s in Cambodia. There is no retribution for Adolf Hitler, who killed 10 million people in the Holocaust, including 6 million Jews. There is no retribution. I'll just say this. When I was in Eastern Germany, and I was studying Holocaust history because Hitler went through, his army went through and killed lots of Jews where I was staying. And I would tell some of the locals I was studying Holocaust history in Eastern Europe. They would all say the same thing. They would all shake their heads and smile and say, "You Americans, all you think about is Hitler, and you've forgotten Stalin." Stalin killed so many people, historians can't even add up the numbers. He wiped out towns, villages, townships, cities, erased records, sent whole villages to their demise. He killed 200 to 600% more people than Hitler. But did you know, if there is no hell, then these guys get off scot-free? What kind of God is that? That would be the monster. Removing consequences of hell eliminates God's greatest deterrent to sin. Now, we're almost done, but I want to ask a question. There are often two reasons people obey the gospel. Some people obey the gospel because they love God and they want to please Him. Others obey the gospel because they're terrified of hell, primarily. So I would like to see a show of hands. How many people here primarily